You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
It gets louder here at Madison Square Garden as the Rangers clinch the President's Trophy.
6 minutes before the show, walks in.
Right.
Logs himself in and immediately Googles President's names.
Benjamin Harrison.
I'm watching him read it off the computer.
William McKinley. Calvin Coolidge. Harry S. Truman.
All right, we get it.
What's the theme?
Enough.
What's the theme? The Rangers won the President's Trophy.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
William Howard Taft, who was a portly fella.
Shapely fella.
On 98.7 ESPN.
That's right. For the fourth time in franchise history, the Rangers have won the President's Trophy. And now, it all begins. All right, I have a question for you. Congratulations in all sincerity to your Islanders as well. Islanders, it was weird because it felt like they were done. They lost, what, like six or seven in a row. They were playing awful hockey, and then they just turned it on, and away we go.
Well, yeah, we won six, lost six.
And then
won. We're done, and now last, what are we, 7-0-1?
Right.
Had won six, lost the Rangers in a shootout, and then just beat the Devils.
So the last quarter of your season was scalding red hot, absolutely brutal, scalding red hot.
And currently scalding red hot.
Which is a nice way to go into the postseason.
Real nice way.
Yeah. Do we know when the Islanders will open yet?
Islanders have one game left.
No, Pittsburgh. I know that.
I don't know exactly.
It's a meaningless game for them.
Well, for Pittsburgh, it isn't.
Right, but for the Islanders, it is because they've locked up that three seed in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, credit to them.
Big credit to them.
Credit to Patrick Roy. I mean, to be where they were at.
I mean, to fire your coach midseason.
Fire your coach, which I get. I mean, I understand that. I was never a Lane Lambert fan, but I mean, you took a chance because Patty had been out of the game for so long. Comes in. It's not easy when you change coaches and to try to pick up a new system. And you saw that early on, you know, some of the practices were, it was a lot of yelling, a lot of instruction. And, you know, to have, you know, the highs of the six-game win streak to all of a sudden now you lose and it looks like you're done to now figuring it out at the end of your season and finishing third in the Metro, going into the playoffs on a hot streak.
You sometimes forget how long these seasons are.
No, you don't.
I don't know.
I can tell you when you're playing, you do not forget how long.
Well, I'm sure that's the case, but it's like I get so wrapped up in the minutiae of every single game that it's like you drive yourself insane. There's so many ups and downs and ebbs and flows and guys are injured, then they're back, and then it's just, there's a lot. Like, to be a sports fan, you really have to lock in for a long period of time.
Yeah, you do. And, well, you're also one of those kind of sports fans that lives and dies every single game.
Like which player, is not
like
overly healthy.
Would do. No, it's
I wish I could just kind of take a step back. And, oh, you know what? Your team loses, no big deal. Like, I get so emotionally wrapped up in every single game.
Yeah, and I always tell you this. You have the mentality more of a player. Like, that's how we would feel. Now, the great ones can, they have the ability to, okay, that was yesterday, today's today, and they move forward. And then there's some of us that let, you know, a bad...
Everything affect them emotionally and personally and
just
everything.
Just wear on you, yeah. It's tough, man. God's honest truth. When you get like a day off, so they schedule rest days or whatever, they have load management.
Right.
The best part of those days is not what it does for you physically. It's what it does for you mentally.
Where you can kind of like just regroup.
You can just relax.
Yeah. Email from Alexander Wenthin. He says, 4 showers a day is absolutely asinine. I hope Rick isn't using shampoo every time. That's so awful for your hair.
No. Washing the body.
Okay.
No, I don't shampoo every time. I don't want to kill all my natural oils in my hair.
I mean, you're murdering them.
I
think you're doing that anyway, honestly, 4 times.
Yeah, but I'm not putting shampoo in it. I don't know if it's great for my skin.
Why would you ever need to shower 4 times in one day?
Because I wake up or work out.
Wake up, work out, totally get it.
Right. So I'm sweating, shower.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Go home.
Right. After the show.
After the show.
Yep.
I'll lift some weights. So I don't have time to do all of it in the morning. So now I have to have another shower.
Okay, that's two.
Right. Now
so I'm now had, second shower, early afternoon.
Early afternoon.
Okay.
Okay, now we're playing around with Rocco. Now I got to put my other clothes on. I got to go coach hockey. Can't come home from coaching hockey and not shower before I get in bed.
Why?
Well, because I could get skates. Skates on. I'm skating around. Probably sweating.
Stink.
If I'm outside coaching baseball.
On a, get a little man sweat going
on
there.
A little man's a dirty field.
Right. Third shower.
Third shower.
And then, but then, when does the fourth come into play?
Oh, it depends on, it will depend on the day. Like if there's an afternoon where I'm outside, running around, come in, shower.
It's a lot of showers.
It's too many.
Is there any way you could streamline this a little bit?
Probably.
See, I don't know.
I don't know if there is, though.
I don't know that there is either. Well, all right, here's my question for you. Do you need to shower after the weights?
Yes.
Are you drenched in sweat after the weights?
Not necessarily drenched in sweat, but there is an element of sweating, right?
I guess.
I also have sneakers. Like, I just want to...
You want to just rinse.
I'm going to sit down on the couch for a minute. I'd like to, you know, cut off
the
wife.
I mean, the first one you need to, because you got to shower in the morning and you're working out, so you got to do that. Second one, if you say that's a necessary one, after skating around, do you need a third one? Then I don't see any way you can't do at least three showers.
Tough to avoid.
I don't know why you're ever doing four.
Well, four is on a rare occasion where it's like, I do the two, and now I'm out doing other stuff, and now I got to come back, and then I also have to go coach, and then I come back.
Shower's nice, though.
Feels great.
Shower's, it's a treat.
And I was thinking about Ray in the shower this morning.
Especially if you're doing that stuff in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you a shower urinator? Be honest.
Yeah.
You just let it go.
Why wouldn't I?
Flow drains, you just let it go.
Plus, I feel like I can get all my pee out that way.
What do you mean?
Well, you get the warm water on your stomach.
It and it kind like of, it's facilitating.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Just get it all out. Plus, you're standing, because I usually sit when I pee at home. Then I get the standing element.
Standing it to just all, right down the drains.
Right out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you feel good about that.
I was told also, like, when you go to a public shower, it's better to pee, you should pee on the floor because it, like, is...
No, I think it's good.
For cleanliness.
You know what you should start doing? Take your penis out and urinate right on people when you go to, like, a public place.
I'm not saying... I don't know if RJ likes how you said that, but...
That was jarring.
I think I was told, like, if you don't have shower
sandals... No, it's good. Like, when you walk into a restaurant, just you know,
table
like doing Juju Smith-Schuster, just say, excuse me, I've urinated on your floor.
Doesn't right look like anyone washed this table. No, RJ, you never heard that? Like, if you go to a public gym and you're going to go shower and you don't have your sandals, if you pee on the floor in the shower, it's supposed to be cleaner.
Let me tell you something. I go to a public gym and I see you urinating on the floor, I'm going right to the garçon and I'm saying, like, excuse me, that man is urinating on the floor.
At the public gym, they have a garçon.
Well, I think there's a public gym with a garçon.
Well, Dave would never know because, in nice transition, speaking of, how was the workout?
It was good.
Dave got a personal trainer because he's very highfalutin.
So you know what I did? I think this is smart. So we had used this, and he's great. He used to work at the local gym, but he kind of branched out on his own, so he has his own business going now. And years ago, the kids, to start their weight training and to try to do some speed and agility, we used him either in groups with other kids around the neighborhood or they would do solo sessions. Then I became friendly with him, great guy. And he said about a year and a half ago, I will give you your first session for free, and then we'll start. I was like, great. So we do a session for free, and then he told me how much he charges. I was like, wait, why is it double what you charge for a kid?
Well, you're double the size.
And he's just like, well, because it's an adult. And I was like, I don't like that rationale. I'm not doing it. I said, I refuse to pay that kind of money. That's just, it's too much. I'm not doing it. So fine.
Maybe the volume of activity, though, maybe too. He's not doing as much with the kids.
It's still an hour, like an hour to an hour. The fact that it was more than double for an adult as to a child. And he had this rationale. And that's fine. This is business. I'm not judging him. But I wasn't going to spend like $150 an hour. Just wasn't going to do it. So he's like, I got to drive over. I was like, you drive over for the kids. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. So I said nothing. Great guy. Like, no anger, upset, or anything like that. And then he heard about our discussions, and he texted me 2-3 weeks ago. He's like, listen, I want to help you. I'll do it for this. I was like, let's go. And we started yesterday. It's not easy.
But you think it's as good? Is he giving you his best?
I think so.
Or does he feel like you might have
slighted him? No, I think he's a prideful man.
Okay.
And I think that I got a high level of training
quality.
What was the
highlight? Like, if you had to pick one.
I was bench pressing.
Wow.
Yeah. We put weights on the bars, too.
Well, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you benching the bar by itself wouldn't be that impressive.
Well, I did that. We started with just the bar.
Okay.
And then we put on weights on each side.
What size weights?
25.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I did 10.
Nice.
And then I went to do planks. I did 30-second planks with very minimal rest. I then did 15-second planks, back to the bar, dumbbell curls.
Wow.
Yep.
Look at you.
Yeah.
A little sculpting.
And I thought today I was going to wake up and be a mess. Not at all.
You feel good?
Not at all.
And we're going to do this, what, twice a week?
Once a week.
Once a week.
But he said I have the program to do now that I can do it on my own once a week and with him once a week.
Okay. So twice a week, then we're doing the treadmill.
The treadmill.
Good.
And away we go.
I like
Tomorrow I got pickleball.
Yeah, but we're getting, so you know, as we get through this weight loss program,
mm-hmm.
the most important thing isn't necessarily your physique yet.
Stamina. Back.
Okay, but like as we're you know, gearing up for the pickleball, let's not get crazy is what I'm saying.
I will not do that.
Like, make sure you let him know.
I even told him the week of the pickleball, we will not be going past Monday. Like, okay. I'm going to see him on that Monday.
Perfect.
And then the next 6 days will be, I might not even play pickleball that week. Or I might play with you that Wednesday, just for an hour after the show, just so you and I can get some experience together. Otherwise, I'm going to shut it down. I want to be in rare form that Sunday, May the 5th.
Right. Do we want all the work done leading up to it so now you can rest and make sure you're at 100%.
That's right.
I like it.
Wes in East Hanover. Good morning, Wes. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, fellas. Good morning, listeners. So I was thinking about this. I'm not a fan of either one of these teams, but Dave, you're a fan of the Rangers and the Knicks.
Right.
It's been a drought for both. So of the two, which one would you rather have win a championship?
Well, a couple things. You say it's been a drought for both, and it has, but, I mean, the Knicks are 50-plus years. The Rangers are 30-plus years. So the drought is not similar. Wes, what you are now going to do is put me in a bad light because I'm going to give an answer and then the other fan base and fans are going to think that I don't care for this team, which is not true, but that's what you're going to do. Is that what you want to do?
No, it's not. It's inquisitive because I think if I was you, I would know which one I would want.
What do you think?
But I'm curious.
Who do you think I want to win more?
I think it's going to be the Rangers who you want to win more.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I completely understand that because I prefer hockey over basketball personally, so I would rather enjoy that, and it's the best playoffs to
See, I don't. But this is interesting, Wes. I don't enjoy hockey over basketball, but I love the Rangers more than I love the Knicks, if that makes any semblance of sense.
It does. Yeah, so I was just very curious about that because you're kind of, you got to pick one, and it's, you probably didn't even see or remember the Knicks win.
I think they won in June of 73. I think I was 3 months old. Might have been May of 73.
Yeah, so it's wild, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Appreciate you taking the call. You guys have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. That, of course, the great Wes in East Hanover.
Who will be at the show?
Yeah, of course. Well, because you're paying for him to have a car.
Up, yeah.
So do you look at me differently because I love the Rangers more than the Knicks? And I'd like to see the Rangers win over the Knicks?
No.
But I've never seen the Knicks win.
Yeah, which has, that's where my surprise.
And I was there when the Rangers won. I was there in the building.
I understand that. I also seen the video when the Rangers were in the midst of a playoff run where you're swearing and acting a fool.
Yeah. What are we doing with going to games, by the way? I mean, Raymond's going to be at every
game. Be there.
He's going to be just waiting for us. RJ? RJ!
I would be interested in going to a Knicks playoff game for
sure.
Are we
going to go as a group, as a show, to some games?
I think we can make that happen. Yeah, we need to get on the same page if we're going to approach this seriously, though.
I want to approach it very seriously. I want to go. I mean, would a matinee on the weekend be better? Is it an early weeknight game better? Is a Sunday night? Is a Thursday night? Like, I'm in. I want to go.
All right, let's see the schedule and we'll pick a game or two.
You think they'll get us tickets for a game, though? We're credentialed to get into the ESPN suite? Like, you would figure that they would, but who knows?
Who knows? That's a hot ticket.
Very hot ticket. Do you see who was there last night?
Yeah, I did. Raymond said that's a beautiful video.
Beautiful video. Raymond, so you met Mr. John D'Agostino, the great John D'Agostino.
Oh, that's right. He just happened to be in the suite yesterday.
So how did you know that it was him?
Joe Weinholz pointed out that it was John D'Agostino. I said, oh, my God, you got to introduce us. And I told him who I was, and he was still very fired up about the phone call the other day. He thought that we set the caller Jake up in front of him. I told him, like, nah, that happened very organically.
It was very organic.
He said, I felt bad for the way I went off on the guy, but he still feels justified in what he says.
Well,
not backing down.
Well, it's kind of fraudulent, but you did give us a nice video of him singing Law Bite Back.
That's right.
Which was really nice.
He seems like a very nice guy.
I'm glad to hear that.
He was more than happy to sing. He loves singing.
He's got a nice voice. He's got a nice voice.
I mean, that's his. D'Agostino, Law Bite Back.
It's nice.
That was actually the reason why I pulled out the app on Saturday. It was because no one believed me that we had, because I didn't hear that he was on.
Okay.
For the roast. I was like, no, he was on. He got roasted, came onto the defense.
And then you re-listened to
the bassoon.
Bassoon.
And I was crying. Crying.
Bassoon, you
hey,
go.
Hey, bassoon, you get going.
Oh, boy. We'll break. We'll come back. The Yankees, the Knicks, and some Giants news as well. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. All right, now listen to this. It's very important. My name is Dave Rothenberg, and I'm here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower. They did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Customized just like we wanted. Only one expert installer process. It was easy. There's no demo. There's no mess. And Bathfitter is a high-quality, permanent solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife. And for a limited time, you get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today like we did at BathFitterDesign.com, because there's only one Bathfitter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Our old friend Chris Bassett really shut him down.
Hey, he was
Judge,
good.
Judge, very quiet. Gleyber Torres again. The defense comes into play, allows that run. Heel, very wild. It was all over the place.
Seven walks,
and Yankees lose 3-1. That's their second consecutive loss.
I also think it shows you how good his stuff is, though. I mean, to be as wild as he was and still find a way to
get
five.
Filthy stuff.
He's got filthy
he
stuff.
He has filthy stuff. But
Rizzo again,
he's got to be able to command his stuff better.
Rizzo with the, I mean, that's a play in foul territory that you got to make.
Yes.
That you he normally makes.
That's correct.
I don't know
the
what's going on with his defense.
Territory. Yeah, it's been a struggle to start the season for him.
Well, lucky for them, Bichette got himself picked off, which is not...
Which was awful.
It's not smart
there
baseball.
Was even two outs at that point.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, you got to give Chris Bassett credit. He pitched really well. Bats did nothing. Anthony Volpe's a stud. I think we all recognize that.
Yep. And we remember we talked last week about why he moving into this leadoff spot. I think you see why. I think he feels like a leadoff hitter.
This was always, I think, the intention. I initially didn't like the reasoning, right? It felt like Gleyber Torres was pressing, so we want to move him out of that spot,
right?
And we'll bring Volpe up, and then there's a chance when LeMahieu comes back, he'll be the one leading off, and I don't want to play that game.
There's no way LeMahieu. I mean, right. Volpe adds such a different dynamic. The fact that he gets on base and he's such
a threat to
take bases, and even on the bases when there's a hit into the gap, he's going to score. Like you can't. There's no way you can bet LeMahieu at the leadoff spot.
No, look at it. Soto had the walk, but you're talking about 2, 3, and 4 went 0-for-11 yesterday.
Right.
That's going to be hard pressed, especially because you have like the catcher position offensively. I know Trevino hit the home run the other day.
But you're not getting a lot out of it.
No.
Wells hit one to the track last night.
Yeah, but he has some at bats where just.
So
looks a little overwhelmed.
At what point? Because you can't freak out, right? I mean, you're so early in the season, and they played such good baseball. At what point? Like, what would have to happen? Do you think for the Yankees fans to be like, "Oh, come on, man!" Like, get a little frustrated and annoyed. You're playing 700 baseball. You're 12-5 early in the season. Like, is tonight I think tonight's a big-ish game because you've lost two in a row.
Series yet, and you lost, right. For the first time this season, you lost back-to-back games.
And you have Rodon on the mound.
Right.
And all this talk about how Rodon's been much better and looks so good and, you know, is this a different version of him? Well, you know what? You got to go out there and give a good start tonight up in Toronto.
You want to know, and this is me being selfish, but one of my bigger takeaways from yesterday's game was how angry I was as a Mets fan.
That they let Bassett get away?
No, that we didn't sign Justin Turner.
Turner, yeah.
Like, that would have been...
If you were going to do it, it would have been perfect. Well, the truth is, you have Martinez. You're just waiting for him to get healthy.
No, but Martinez can only DH. Turner can play... He can play third base. He can play first base.
Yeah.
There's more versatility
there. I wanted to get $14 million, I think.
Dude, right now he's batting... He's hitting .362 with an OPS over 1,000.
And he was a Met. So you made the mistake of letting him get away originally, and now you compounded it by not bringing him back. But regardless of that, Yankees, I think they're fine. Bullpen continues to be good. Heel was not great, but he was not terrible. Even though he was wild, at least he was able to kind of – he had good stuff. Like when he was able to throw strikes, which he was able to do. What I find weird about him is his first two starts, he left with leads both times and didn't make it five innings. Last night – he threw seven walks and still made it through five innings.
Right. And that was the most pitches that he had thrown. And you recognize, you looked at it, they had the bullpen chart out, is that you're going to be light in the bullpen. So you're going to need that. And remembering every day how each game affects the following game with how much you're going to, how much you're going to use your bullpen, which guys you're going to use, are they available the next day? So for him to get you the five innings was good, but seven walks all over the place. You couldn't hit. At some point, Gleyber's going to have to get it going, right? That's another one of those ones where you just said, he'll hit because he hits. That's
and,
what he does.
And he will.
And he will. But, as he's not hitting, you're also going to have to live with some of the bonehead defensive
stuff.
Well,
I think that's what makes it so difficult with him because you can't kill a guy for not hitting, right? It happens. It's happening to Lindor right now, Nimmo right now, McNeil right now, right? Like, it happens. Trevino. But I think what's not okay is if you're not hitting to compound it with bonehead plays. Like, the play on Sunday was awful.
Yep.
The play yesterday was a problem. It's like you can't compound the fact that you're not producing with the bat and then be a liability defensively.
Right. Yeah, the throw where he's coming across second base, a bad throw.
Right.
The play you're talking about where he's in, I was surprised how far in he was. Can't handle it the first time, can't pick it up. And rather than throw to first, get that out. So now the sack fly can't beat you. He throws home. Yeah, it's you got to find a way to contribute in a positive way somehow. Right? If you're a DH, you can't hit, there's nothing else you can do. But if you're Gleyber Torres and you're having a hard time hitting right now.
Well, you figure he'd be more dialed in defensively because he has to be.
And I also think it's too. There are certain guys that during contract years have great seasons. Aaron Judge, contract year, had one of, great season. And there are guys that they feel the pressure and they press and they struggle. I don't know how much of that is playing.
Well, it's got to be thrown into the equation of this is a huge year for him. And now, again, it's 17 games. So there's a lot of season left. And we talked about the length of a hockey season, length of a baseball season is twice as long. But it has not been a great start for Gleyber Torres.
It hasn't been a great start for him offensively. And now some of the other stuff that you're seeing too with especially the infield defense for this team.
He would drive me crazy. Just the way I like to, I love intelligent players. I love guys that are going to, like Starling Marte gets me a little upset when I think to myself that he's not giving you 100% effort every time. And I guess maybe that's a me problem. Like, you can't expect over 155 games or however many they're going to play that you're going to get that maximum effort. But I would think if you're struggling offensively that you would now ratchet up the level of your defense. And I don't know, I just watch him play all the time. And the word that pops into my mind is he's very lackadaisical.
Right. Well, that's the risk you run. When you have a nonchalant nature about you, if you make the plays and you make them look easy, great. But if you don't make the plays,
make the plays.
But if you don't, it's going to look like you're not giving max effort, and it's not going to look great.
Here's Aaron Boone saying Heel just didn't have his best stuff last night.
No, just a tough night. Credit to him for being able to get through five. It's a testament to just how good his stuff is and how hard he is to hit. Almost anyone else goes out there and does that, and they're hanging 7, 8, 9 on you. And on a night where we're really short, he battled through it, actually finished pretty strong. But obviously, that was an issue for him tonight.
But he did battle. Like at the end of the day, three runs in five innings is still a decent performance. You don't crush him. He kept you in the game.
He kept you in the game. You just couldn't hit. Bassett was better.
Bassett was really good last night.
Bassett was better. But, I mean, listen, a judge at some point is going to have to hit his stride.
But do you worry about that?
No, I don't. That's why there's no panic. That's why it's not, I mean, the Yankees aren't overly interesting to talk about right now.
I do think tonight's interesting, for me at least, because you've lost two in a row. You'd like to get back, and if you lose, it's not a big deal. But, I mean, for Rodon, this is a big-ish game. Like, I'd like to see him go out there six innings and one-run ball.
With no Garrett Cole, the amount of money that you're paying him to be a stopper. That's what he needs to turn himself into until Garrett Cole comes back. We say that all the time about Garrett Cole having an ace. It's tough to go on an extended losing streak because you know what guy that guy has the ball in his hands. That's a game.
What were they 23-10 last year with Cole on the mound? So you're going to win the bulk of the games, but you don't have him now. Who can be that second guy? And it should be Rodon. And people are excited by what he's been so far this season. So you know what? Tonight, go out there and give me a good performance.
Right, and it's a team that you don't like.
They have so much talent on the Blue Jays.
But
they've done nothing.
Right, like this swag that has
without the production.
Right, without the accomplishment.
Right. It's like we're the big kid on the block, but we've never done anything.
Yeah, it's a bunch of really talented guys that really haven't won anything yet. That present themselves like they've already won.
Exactly that. All right, we break. We come back. Some Giants information to get to. Mike Kafka spoke yesterday. Daniel Jones, and people are all freaked out about his appearance. 1-800-919-3776. Then we've got CMT, and we haven't even touched the Knicks yet. So there's a lot to do on this Tuesday. DNR 98.7 ESPN. Now, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up just perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what Michael K. did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy, and they'll help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. I mess up that line every single time. Every single time. I'm going to try it again. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. There it is. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention Michael told you to stop on by, and you now will get the very special Michael K. treatment.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
RJ, were you looking to embarrass me when you asked about the training session yesterday, by the way?
No.
You sure?
I was genuinely curious.
No, you were not. Why did you ask first time on the air? You wanted me to say like, oh, it was awful, and now I have a pulled quad. That's what you wanted.
No. No. People are following your weight loss journey. You may not know that, but I think there's a lot of people that find it relatable.
I'm 5 pounds down in 2 weeks, and now we've started to put some lightweight training with some core training, pickleball, and treadmill.
I don't think you've ever pushed this hard, at least not since I've been on the show.
Well, now that, I mean, there's a physical component at the end, right, where we have a match against Anita and Amani, and we need to win that, and I need to be in good shape for the photo shoot and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, normally you just stop eating. Like, as far as long as I've been around with this iteration with you, 3.5 years or so.
Yeah.
When you want to drop weight, you literally just stop eating.
Right.
So I'm curious, like you said, what's the update? So I actually don't know anyone that's ever actually hired a personal trainer, like one-to-one, numerous sessions. So I'm curious how it's going.
All right, well, session one in the books, and it went pretty well.
You're not going to tap out, are you? Like, you've opened the door now. You got to keep. You got to see.
What does that
through.
Mean? Tap out. You like, got
to keep the trainer. I'd like to see you eat a little more.
That's not going to happen. Yesterday, very little eating. Yesterday, I had some blueberries before the show. Then I had some string beans and peas with some bruschetta for lunch, and then a piece of grilled chicken and some 3-bean salad with a applesauce and yogurt for dinner.
That's not a lot. So what I meant is, because I'm guessing you want to try to hold this till the beach bash, because with the, I know you have pickleball, and I know you'll take the pictures before that. We have the pregame party, of which people have access to see you. But I'm guessing at the beach bash, when our goal, me, Rick, and Ray, is to embarrass you as much as possible,
right,
and you'll have this picture of you, it would backfire on us if the photo is not as bulbous as we'd like it to be. And then you standing next to that, you have since lost more weight since the photo.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
I don't like that.
Well, sorry. My goal is for you guys to, you know, you remember Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents?
Yes.
And it's like everyone wants to make fun of him, and he's in the little Speedo bathing suit. You're like, he doesn't look bad at all. It looks great. Like, that's my goal.
So that's what I'm trying to gauge of where you're at. You know, what your probability to just quit and give up is.
None.
Right now.
Have you met me? I mean, I think it's fair to say there's almost no one that walks the earth that's more stubborn than me.
That is true. But you always burn out because you go too hard.
No, I don't think it's a burnout. It's just, I just don't care. It's at some point anymore.
Of which you start eating again. I would like to see you find a nice, happy medium. Something sustainable.
Well, you know what? Right now, that's not an option, RJ.
Okay.
Right now, we're on a focused, determined path to lose as much weight as possible over the next 2 months, and that's the goal.
Yeah, who needs food?
Well, I could have juggled it up into my mouth, but I chose to use a fork.
You want to hear from Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka?
Well, I've never wanted anything more.
I think you're not being genuine right now.
I was not, but I do want to hear from them.
Okay, so here is Daniel Jones, and it was so apparent to people that his eyes were like bugging out of his head that Adam Gase, whose eyes went bananas that one time, was trending on social media. But here is Daniel Jones giving us the update on his rehab stint.
Rehab's going well, making good progress, coming along. Obviously spent a lot of time with the trainers here and strength staff. So the plan is to be ready to go by training camp. Feel good about being ready.
You feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants can have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
So what is he going to say to that? I mean, I get that the question probably has to be asked, but what would he, like, if he said no.
Does it have to be asked, though?
Maybe not.
Right, like, But what would you imagine his answer was going
to
be?
Well, I mean, did you need to hear that ever in the history of sports talk radio to hear what his answer was going to be? Do you think you're the best option for the Giants? No, I think if they draft Michael Penix, that would be a better option than me. Like, well, that's ridiculous.
Could you imagine what your first thought would be as a Giants fan if he answered that question differently than he answered it?
Well, I mean, even if he thinks that they're going to draft the guy, or he's not that good, or he's not going to be healthy, there's no chance he's going to say that.
Could you imagine if his answer was, you know what? No, I don't.
Well, I want to see where we're at.
Real chance Drew Locke's better than me, and whoever they draft is definitely better than me. No, I mean, he's, in his mind, he's the New York Giants starting quarterback until otherwise.
And he should have that mindset. Told. What kind of a question is that? You're right. What kind of a question is that? Do you think you're the best? No. I think if they draft, I mean, listen, if they move up in the draft, clearly Drake May is better than me.
They get Drake May, I have no
and
shot.
And Bo Nix is better than me. And to be honest with you, just between me and you, Drew Locke also better than me. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I don't know what you were expecting his answer to be.
Like, what did you think his
Other
answer
than
was
that.
Going to be?
Other than that.
I mean, it's like I would have bet you every penny I have in the bank that that's the only thing he could have answered.
Right, if he answered that question any differently than he answered it, you'd have, I mean, Joe Shane would have a real problem with his hands.
That's a good one. The best, hold on, let me think. Certainly an option.
We have Drew Lock. We're going to draft a quarterback.
I am coming off another injury.
Nope.
I had the neck. People are concerned about that. No, I guess I'm still the guy. Here is the offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka. Kafka or Kafka? Have we determined that?
I call him Kafka.
Kafka. All right, we'll go with that on his relationship with the head coach, Brian Daboll.
I love working with Dabes. I love working for Dabes. It's been a collaborative process. Have we got all the results that we wanted each and every day? Sure, we want to go and win every single game, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And so, we go through the ups and downs of a season, and, we're all competitive. We all want to win, and that's what I love about him.
I think he's a good offensive mind, and I think that there was a disconnect between him and Daboll last season, and then Daboll took over
play
calling.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Not only did he take over the play calling, he gave it to the quarterback's coach.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll take it back, and then we'll give it back to Kafka. Who has to call the plays for the Giants this season?
Daboll, I would think.
Okay. Right. I mean, it sounds like there's a little bit, I think he knows he needs to do it, but right. There's been some...
Well, that's his bread and butter, right? Like, that's the most competent thing he's able to do so far has been that guy.
I can't imagine it's great for the quarterback if it's someone different calling the plays week to week.
I think it's terrible for the quarterback. And especially if you're going to draft a new quarterback, you would want him to hear one voice and not hear one guy one week and one guy the next week.
I don't know how much I believe that
that he loves Daboll. I think that we've heard rumblings that the two of them don't get along, and that we've heard rumblings that Kafka didn't even want to stay here and be with the Giants.
No, he wanted to take a lateral move to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else.
Right, and the Giants wouldn't let him go.
No.
And nor should they.
You gave him a
little bump.
A little bump. A little added title.
Yep. This is interesting. Brian Daboll was asked, do you pay attention to mock drafts? Have you heard this yet? No, right?
I haven't heard
anything. What do you think he says?
I think
he says no.
If he's telling the truth, he would say...
Probably.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Because Kuiper says that he speaks to coaches and GMs and executives all the time.
I told you Brandon Bean said on McAfee that they'll look at them just to see, have an idea of what people think other teams are going to be doing.
That's cool that guys like Kuiper and Matt Miller and Todd McShay and Jordan Reed and all these guys have like an influence on what teams will do.
I don't know if it's an influence, but you're also,
it's focused
on. They also recognize that they're being used too.
Yeah, they definitely make time. Like Kuiper, when he was on with us a few days ago, he was going, we didn't say this on the air, this is true. Right after us, he had at least two GM, one-on-one phone calls scheduled. I can't tell you who.
Do you know who?
You allowed to even say that much.
I may or may not. Well, he said he had GM calls.
Well, I'm not going to ask you who, but do you know who?
I may have an idea.
Well, how would you have an idea? Either he told you or he didn't.
I can't. I've already said too much.
Because now you're going to keep pressing him.
No, yeah, I don't want you to
Mel
tell me.
Mel told him.
But do you know who? Yes. I will leave it there.
Maybe he'll tell you in commercial.
I need to cut. Rick's right. I need to cut it off here. That's all I can tell you.
You're not giving me anything more than do you know who?
No, because I've already gone one step too far.
This is like Santiago with his lack of information. I'm not saying to tell me who.
He knows.
Do you know who?
Maybe. Just move along.
Why do you not want to know? Why do you not care?
Because I don't want to press him, because Mel probably told him, and now RJ doesn't want to...
But RJ's already told us that Mel told him.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to tell you exactly who.
You're pushing.
I'm not asking him to tell me exactly who. I'm just asking him to tell me if there's confirmation that Mel told him who. That's it.
I can't say too much because next week is the big week. If word gets back to Mel that we talked about something he doesn't want out there, he might call.
Are you
right
booking
off.
Field Yates for the show this week?
So I've reached out.
Yeah.
I spoke with him yesterday. He got right back. He said, this week is insane schedule-wise. Let me get back to you. So that's not a no, but this is Field's first draft run-up as a full-time draft analyst.
Now he's on the draft coverage, I believe, on ABC.
I believe that is correct.
That's nice for him.
He's getting pulled in a lot of directions, but he got right back. Wanted me to say hi to you guys, likes you guys, and he's going to do his best.
He might be. Do you know Field Yates at all? Have you ever worked with him?
Yeah.
He might be the nicest person in this industry. He's a genuinely delightful guy.
He's very nice. There's a reason why he's been around and been able to kind of...
Yeah.
He's doing the fantasy stuff, now he's doing the draft stuff.
Yeah, and he's also very handsome.
He's got a good look.
And... kind of what RJ is crafting his look after, it feels like.
He's the more successful version of me, yes.
Yeah.
He's like satellite RJ. And RJ would be cable RJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
So he's the better version of the two of you.
Yeah. I mean, he used to work for the Patriots, right?
Correct. Yeah. I think he had a relationship with Belichick, and that's how this whole thing spawned into where it is.
He's much better than me.
Well, I don't know much better.
Oh, yeah.
You're very good.
No, but I mean.
Yeah, but RJ, I mean, if you just go, I mean, you take his job and how good he is at his job and how good you are at your job, I would take you.
But and I think that that's fair, but here's the thing.
I would not take me.
Whose job's more important?
Yeah, he's going to be on ABC.
He's going to be on ABC. RJ,
I get it.
You know,
I mean, there's a level of importance there.
You know, I could be on ABC 7 if we just ran downstairs and like took over the
set. Why all the time?
I'll tell you what. I'll get you a free breakfast tomorrow. If I sit here now and I see you running across the newsroom downstairs.
I just grab the camera. I'm like, Dave, breakfast.
Just do the weather. Be like, I'm glad you asked me. Rainy on the west. You know, I mean, it's a green screen. So you just kind of go anywhere in this region and then it's a win.
If you're just doing the show and you just see me pop up like a head pokes in front of the camera.
Or you're like hiding in the corner. Like that. Wait, that's RJ.
Hello, New York.
I think you'd be great. If you were going to do any one thing on the news, what do you think it would be? You think it'd be a weatherman?
No, he'd be sports.
You'd be sports? They've killed sports.
Everything he says is a sports analogy.
But the sports doesn't even exist anymore.
It might be too obvious. You know what I think I want? I think I want them to send me out on location somewhere.
No.
I want to be in like a chopper.
They don't have anybody in a chopper.
Oh, they do. There's traffic choppers. I need to be.
I don't know, man. You don't want to be. You want to be like on location. Like there was a shooting right behind me, and then you'd be
like
that.
Or maybe a weatherman, like in a big storm.
Yeah, when you're out there and you're blowing over.
I'm in the eye of the hurricane. And you see RJ flying
across
the street.
Jim Cantor, is that his name? So he's being pushed down the street.
That's wild.
And RJ's so little, like he could get swallowed right up by
this. It's gonna rain.
They probably wouldn't let me in. For that reason, I'm probably a liability. Like, what if
RJ's up in the middle of the tornado?
You know what?
Up we go!
I'd stay with it, though. We don't cut away.
It's raining sideways!
It guaranteed just firing off sports analogies as he's up in the tornado.
That's right. This is like the bottom of the ninth, Joe! It's a 2-2 count!
Talking about Joe Torre.
Joe Torres. Right? I think he's the anchor on ABC 7. Are we ready for... Oh, we didn't play the sound.
No, we never got
because I got so sidetracked. That's what happens. Here's Brian Daboll. Do you pay attention to mock drafts?
I look at them. I definitely look at them because there's probably some people that are communicating with other people and they think this and they think that. But I don't know if the mock draft's ever been 100% in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you trust your work of your evaluation, people in your building, and then make the best decision for yourself.
I like it. Honest.
Yeah, well,
I look at them. Well, because how many coaches do you think would be like, no, I don't look at those things?
I guess, but I mean, it's right. I mean, it's trying to have an idea of what Mel's talking to GMs. All these, Field is talking to GMs. And I know they're getting fed misinformation. This is called lying season for a reason.
Of course,
at least have some idea where they expect players to go. Like what general vicinity of the draft certain players will go.
But it's cool that this non-industry, I mean, the draft was nothing back in the day. I think the draft was held on like a Wednesday afternoon at a hotel in New York City, and maybe it was televised, maybe not. It's become a big business, and now you can have full-time careers based on covering and mock drafts and analyzing the draft. Like, it's really, in the last 30, 40 years, it's taken on a complete life
crazy.
Of its own.
Yeah, but you would be crazy as a league. As popular as the NFL, especially with how well college football does as far as promoting their game, promoting their stars. Like, these are household names by the time they get to this point to give you the, these are, I mean, it's probably a little bit different now with the NIL and these guys actually making money and everything else. But before, like you say it all the time about why you love American Idol.
Love it.
Right, this is the biggest moment of those kids' lives.
Right.
This is a culmination of everything you've worked for your entire life, and then you get the backstory on top of it. So now there's like this emotional, of course it's going to be something that people would be interested in.
And I think a big reason you just mentioned is because you know them. Like Major League Baseball draft, maybe you're interested.
Plus, you never know when you're going to see them, though.
That's the
other thing.
Right.
These
guys now instantly are into the organization and should have an immediate impact.
Right. You're paying attention to this because you know the guy that you draft in the first round is going to be starting for your team this season.
Right. But in my lifetime, the NBA draft used to be bigger than the NFL draft, and now we flip-flop there. Like, now NBA draft, it's like, I don't know half these guys. Half
How about of them this are, year's draft?
This year's NBA draft?
This is not supposed to be a great NBA draft at all.
No. The kid from Colorado, now I think it's just changed, but there was a kid from Colorado who was mocked as the number one player. I watched them play. I'm like, this guy's not good at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be a good draft.
I think
a really bad draft.
I think that you're 100% right with that. So, but that NFL draft is now the draft.
But think about that. Well, I mean, of course it makes sense. You'd be stupid not to do what they do with this draft. It's an unbelievable opportunity. It could be your favorite singing show. They all try to, you know, capture, you know, people on a stage like this where they finally have their chance to do what they wanted to, you know, do what they've dreamt of doing their entire lives and to be given that shot. And then, oh, by the way, we're also going to give you the backstory, all the struggles that they've
gone
through.
That's the stuff that makes it so interesting. So you want to know why you're not overly interested in the draft?
Yeah, tell me why.
So this is NBADraft.net, which is a really good site. This is their 2024 mock draft right now. Number one to Detroit, Zachary Risache, maybe a French. I don't know. I never heard of him. Number two is the kid from Colorado, Cody Williams. Number three, Dalton Kincaid, who's good, but you don't watch Tennessee, and he's not Caitlin Clark, that's for sure. Reed Sheppard, who remember last time we saw was awful for Kentucky. Four, Alexander Saar, five, Matas Buzela, six, Ronald Holland, seven, Rob Dillingham, eight from Kentucky, Terrence Shannon, nine, and Jacoby Walter, 10. Does any of those guys move any needle for you?
No needles.
None.
No.
No needle is moving.
No. WNBA draft, way more.
Way more.
Way more exciting.
Way more. Couldn't agree with you more.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.